And now we'll start Kuf Aleph. Right. Tan Rabbanan. Anotein Eitzim Lecheresh, Vasod Men Kisei. Person gives wood to a carpenter to make a seat. Vasa Mehen Sapsal. Instead he makes him a bench. Sapsal, he has to make him a bench. Vasa Mehen Kisei. Instead he makes him a...
Lecheresh.
Not a cheresh. A deaf person, but a cheresh, a carpenter. Right. Vasa Mehen Kisei, and he makes for him a chair. Rameo Mer Noten Lo Dmei Sa. This is Rameo the Shita Tov. That he's a ganav. If he's a ganav, then he's mishaneh. He's mishaneh. He's koneh the etim, and he has to pay him back. Etim. That's it. You do merit. Im yeshevach katzal yitziyah nutein lo etziyah. Im yitzay yiterel yeshevach nutein lo etzeshevach. His hand's on the lower end here. He's koneh etim, and he says, pay out. You got to pay either the shevach or the etziyah, the lower of the two, and then he goes back to the balim. Umode Rabbi Meir im natan etim lecharash latzot mehen kisei na'eh matzeh mehen kisei ka'or. He gave him wood to make a nice chair, and instead he made a poor, either quality or poor looking chair. Either way, then, Sassal Ma'eh, same thing, Asa Sassal Kor, gave him to make a nice bench, instead he makes a poor quality bench. Ima Sheva Ketar Yitziyah, no Tein Lo Dmei Yitziyah, Vim Yitziyah Yitzei Rav Sheva, Vim Tein Lo Dmei Sheva. Then he will agree to Rabbi Yehuda's position that he pays the lower of his expenditures for the benefit or the improvement caused over here. Why is that? Because there's no Shinoi over here. He asked him to make a chair, and he made a chair. Quality, it's not exactly what he wanted. That shinoi is only a nuanced shinoi. Now we've talked before what it takes to call the shinoi. Shinoi means that the name has to be different. There has to be a real change, right, in the object to the point where it's not called the same object anymore. So Rav Meir, Kisei and Sapsal, those are two different objects. But Rav Meir, a nice chair, and a poor quality chair, a poor or an ugly chair, and a nice chair, that's not enough of a change to be classified as a shinoi from what the Balim wanted. Therefore, he does own it, right? The Balim still own it. Then it's not a dinik shatim zelai. He doesn't pay him back wood, but he pays him back, he gives him the chair. And then the Balim compensate him for that chair of the lesser of his expenditures or the shevach, because his yado al atachtonah here. Alright, Ibai Lohu. Yeh shevach zmanim al atemer, or ain't shevach zmanim al atemer? So this is, the Gemara wants to know, and this is what Rashi is going to ask, we'll see this later on in the Gemara, that when you dye something, is the visible change in the beged, is that miltahi or lav miltahi? Is that an intangible or a tangible difference? So Gemara is going to ask, why, what does it matter, whether it's a tangible or intangible difference? But, when you have smananim, if you take dyeing, dye, and you place it into a beged, what you have now, do you have a beged plus dye, or you just have a beged that has color? I mean, what do you have now? What is the, is there actually a tangible dye that's found inside the beged now? Mark says, hey, please tell me, what's the case here? What are you trying to understand over here? So Mark says, Elam is a gazal smanim vidakinu. He stole dye, or what seems to be raw materials for dye. Then he crushed them, vitarinu, and then he soaked them, vitavaban, and then he, right, then tavaban, then he dyed with them. Over there, if that's the issue, then he was koneh them, but forget about getting to the dye on the beged. He was koneh them when he changed them from their raw state to a dyeable state by soaking them or by crushing them. That's enough to make a shinoi. He was koneh them long ago. There's nothing to question. Of course, he's chayav to return them. Well, the case is the truth. The gazal smanim shruim. He stole dye that was ready to be used. It was ready soaked. Dye was ready soaked. Vitzavavahu. And then he was, what? Then he was dying with them. My. Yesh shevach smanim al gabi tzemer. So he says, is there shevach smanim al gabi tzemer? Darmalei habli smanai b'shekotinu. Give me back my dye that you stole. O dilma in shevach smanim al gabi tzemer. So he said, or do we say that the dye does not exist anymore? Darmalei leit lach gabai b'lomide. You don't have anything with me. So when do we say, right, the general principle is that you have to return something that's intact, right? Something that's there. The yeshiva, the vilash, or gazah. Right, give me back my semer. Oh, Dilma, in shevach smanim, I'll give you a semer. There's no shevach smanim, I'll give you a semer. And therefore, he hasn't stolen anything. Why? Because the dye is still in the cauldron. The dye is not in the beged. And he says, I didn't steal anything from you. Right? Because there's no chazuta. There's nothing tangible in the beged.
In that beged is sitting in the cauldron?
Or take it out. He may take it out of the cauldron.
But when you see the dye in the beged.
Right, but you see dye, but is that a tangible enough item to consider it as a stealing? Can I hand you back? That's the Gemara's question. Gemara's question here is, if I dye a beged, and I come out here, I take a beged, I put it into the dye, I stole dye that was soaking, right, then I put the beged into the dye. Now I take the beged out. Now I have to return you the dye that I took from you. If I hand you back the cauldron that has the dye in it, am I giving you back everything that you took, I took from you? Because when I look at the beged, there's nothing tangible inside the beged. It took nothing of the dye. That's the Gemara Tavim, at least at this point, is that it took nothing from the dye because chazuta ba'alma. It's just a visual effect.
It was a different color. It was bigger.
Right. It wasn't, right. You didn't take anything tangible out of the dye. It's just a color change. And therefore, right, I didn't steal any of your dye, and I can return you the cauldron, that's it. Or can the nignav make an insistence and say, you gotta return me my dye and the cauldron plus what's inside that beged? Right? That's the difference of the Gemara. So that's the Gemara says here. Gemara says, what's the suffix? The suffix is mine. Yes, shadow smanim agami zemer. Demarly havali smanai b'shavadim. Do we say that there's a tangible smanim inside the beged where you can make a demand to return the dye? He says, give me back my dye that's inside your beged. Oh, dilo ain't shadow smanim agami zemer. Maybe there's no shadow. He says, demarly let's lechel gavai. But midik says that you don't have anything on me. Your dye is in the pot. I'm handing your dye back. You have nothing on me because my beged is just a visual effect. It's not the dye itself. Where it says, Imri, even if you say, he says, wait a minute. He says, can you really make such a statement that you have nothing on me when it's dye here? Namely, how please manai, Dr. Dinu. Right? Give me, there's stuff missing from the pot. Right? No matter what the beggar looks like, the dye in the pot is less dye than there was before, and you gotta pay me for that. Right? So he says, no, Elo hakizo. Now this is the way we have to phrase the question. Ein shevak smanim agabit zemer. Right, there is no shevach smanim agabi tzemer. Ubay shlumile, and he has to pay for it. Odume yesh shevach smanim agabi tzemer. Ramalei hamamche kamach shalkinu shaklinu. So he says, Gemara says that now reverses the question. It says no. The question here is a hari shel kala panach question. It's not about whether the nignav can come and demand his smananim. Right, we thought the question is that the ganav chayav to compensate, just give him back his dye. Or did he have to give him back the dye that's also found in the beged? Gemara says, what type of question that is? Even if you say that what's found in the beged is not tangible, it's not a dye that he has to go pay him for, yet when we come back to the cauldron has less in it than when he took it. And he's got to pay him the difference there. Comes out to be the same thing anyway. Either way, he's going to pay him for the missing dye. So that can't be the question. No, the question here is whether the dye inside the beged is tangible. Why does that make a difference? Now when he hands him back the cauldron, does he have to compensate him for the missing dye that's there? Or can he say to him, here's your cauldron, here's the beged, you have all your dye back. Now I've given you all your dye back. Obviously, it's an assumption that the tzemer is not worth so much, right? Or whatever he dyed isn't worth so much, and that when he gives it back to him, it's worthwhile for him just to hand it all back and say, here's all your dye back.
Or even if he says he wants to do that. But the question is, the person's dye is, he doesn't want a sweater.
Oh, very good. Well, okay, he wants his dye back. He doesn't want to have some sort of beged with that dye. It's a shaklinu mamai. How is he going to get his dye back out of his beged? If you hand it back to beged, he wants dye, he has to get it out of here. Instead, this is what you mentioned before, shaklinu tzafun. Right, we had this earlier in the Gemara that he has this soap, this type of detergent that removes the dye from the beged, and therefore he could take the dye out of the beged. Right, soap or detergent removes dye from the beged. It does not return the dye itself back to its original potency. Yeah, you can't go then and dip some beged into there and expect to get the same color out. It's diluted with detergent and other stuff. Now it's not going to work. I shove it off it. He's not giving him anything. He's not giving him. He can remove the dye. It doesn't mean he's giving him dye back. So that doesn't work.
He can undye the beged.
Right.
It doesn't mean that he's
getting dye back. Right. So Ella, help him. I see can go on the gazel temer utzmanim dechad. He stole the tzemer and the dye of a single individual, of one individual. So until now, we said either it was his beged or it was someone else's dye and beged. Now he stole from one guy, he stole both the tzemer and the dye. Bitzavei, lau tzemer, behind our smanim. He took this guy's dye and he dyed this guy's beged. Remind the lady, the tzemer, and he hands him back the tzemer. So he says, yeh, you say, yishvach, smanim, agavi a tzemer, v'kamar de lay smanim, b'tzemer. Do we say, I'm handing you back everything now. I'm handing you back your beggar. I'm handing you back your tzmanim, and everything's, you know, between the two of them, I'm giving back everything I stole from you. And therefore, if it's tzemer, mahadalei, tzmanim lo mahadalei. He's handing him back the beggar, but he's not handing him back the, right, the dye. The imre.
I don't
understand
how
I feel
the
beggar
is handing back then, because I don't lose things.
Oh, so this is imre. Typically, diakalei, nialei, bitzmei. Right, he says, no, listen, I made the beggar that I'm handing you back is worth more now. So that should be the differential between what the die is worth. I mean that a die beged should be worth the difference between semer plus a full cauldron of die versus a die semer missing that die in it. He should be able to sell the beged for the equivalent value of what's missing from the cauldron. So what's the question over here? Even if die is not existent in the beged, the higher value of the beged now should compensate him for the missing die.
So compensation.
And so he handed him that value. He might say, well, Jika, the Zal Tiv'a, this is an interesting case, that the cost of Tiv'a, what that means, let's see, was that the dyed Bigadim went down in value. That's what Rashi says, that the dye now dropped in value. Semer Tavua, Huzal Be'olam, dyed Bigadim, colored Bigadim went down in value. So now, because of that drop in value in dyed Bigadim, it no longer equals. What we said before that there's an equation, which is semer plus die equals a beged tavua. So between a beged tavua, I should compensate for semer plus missing die. But if the value of dyed clothing goes down, that equation falls apart. So that Rashi says that semer tavua azal be'olam ve'megin cherach l'demei tzmanim. Barmelei nigzal, the nigzal says, ani hayti mocher tzmanim, I could have sold out from under you, I could have sold the whole bag of dye. Or he did severe beged, b'achshav is titani, right? Or I could have severe, but now you caused me a loss. I'll lose shivitu b'temer. Right now I can't do what I want. The temer is not worth more now. You actually ruined the temer over here. Massive Gilin Hashas, massive Rabbi Akiva Ego over here. That asks on Rashi. He says, why did the Gemara go this way? Why did the Gemara go to this whole difficulty explaining that the value of the semer tavua of dai bigadim went down? Why don't you just say that the value of dai went down? Right? Because if you say that the while, and then if the value of dai itself went down, right, then he has to pay kishata gzela. It's the question now. If he has to pay kishata gzela, then he has to pay back the value of the dai when he stole it. The value of dai when he stole it is much higher than the value of dai today. So if he now stole the dai, and the dai is not extant in the beged, it's not extant in the beged, he can't say Arishal Chalef and Echel, then he owes him the value of dai from the time that he stole it, the higher value, not that value of dai today.
Where's the Shina Kinnan?
Right, because he used up the
dai. Is it the garner? Or
it's in the beged. It's in the beged.
No, there's a few drops.
Yeah, whatever he put into the beged, he has to compensate him for it back at the time that he stole it, the higher value of dai. He has to give him money equivalent to the price at that time. On the other hand, if you say that the dai still stands inside the beged, and he hands him the beged, he's saying, I gave you all your dai back. So that could have been the Nafkamina. Why did the Gemara go through this whole convoluted thing? So the Rekiva asked that, and then he asked even on the Gemara itself, since he doesn't understand the Gemara, he leaves a big clarification here on the Gemara, why the Gemara created such a complex case when he could have come up with a simpler case, just so you're aware that it's not so simple about this whole thing. Now, the question is, by Zema, the other possibility is that another case could go on to Tzava Bahu Kupa, that he colored a Kupa. So now, that's the question, what does that mean, that he Tzava Bahu Kupa? So now, Rashi brings down the possibilities, right? The possibilities up here, exactly what this means. That he had the Rashi. Look at Rashi. He now made the tavu kula gazal kof. He stole a monkey. Vitzvanim and died. But still had the kof, and he died the monkey. Umapziralo the leyakel. It's clear that there's no value added. That's the other answer. The other answer is then the question of whether the value added in the beged would equal the missing die. Over here, that's clearly not the case, because the missing die is useless because it died some monkey, which is no value. So in that case, the question is, again, does the die exist or not exist where you can say, Arishal Kofanakha? Can you say, here's your monkey, and the die is inside of it, you get the die back your own way? Right? Or, is it the die is now missing? That's one possibility. The Imri law, the other possibility is from the Aruch, which is a kupash on the tzarim. He died a basket. Again, where the value.
The color of the basket.
Right, the basket's not, the color of the basket's not useful. It doesn't add any value here. So again, it's a question of whether the dye is considered extant inside of the bag or inside of the basket or not. That's the only question at hand, not that there's a higher value because of it. Tosfos says that Tzava bo kupa, that over here is kupa is like a coat. He says, like a monkey. When a monkey goes and does dyeing, the outcome, like you were suggesting before, craftsmanship, the dye that's done by a monkey is not a good quality dye. And so that's the question over here. The claim is that he did it like a monkey. He dyed it like a monkey, which is that he didn't do a good job. He did a poor job. So therefore, the beged value has not increased because he didn't dye it in a value-increasing manner. Then again, the only question at hand is whether the dye is still there or not there. That's the only question we have because the increased value is not there. There's no add value added. So Rabbi Amar, how come I see it all? December dechad, shmanim dechad. No. Case here is that the wool belongs to one guy, the dye belongs to another guy, the kate kof, and a monkey comes, and it's it. And he actually dyes it. Bahav zemer b'anach shmanim. He takes the stuff you stole, the shmanim and the beged, and then he puts them together. Now, yeshev shmanim agave zemer, damalei havli shmanai, the gabe chininu. He says, the other guy, give me back, you have the beged now, but that beged has my shmanim in it. Odil ma'in shev shmanim agave zemer, damalei leitzach gabei, klum. So these two guys that were stolen from, when I give back the beged to the guy that I stole from, can he dye it, the guy who owned the dye, go to the guy with the beged and say, you have my dye in your beged. You gotta pay me back. You got back a beged that has more value. You gotta give me, compensate me for that differential. Or can he say, listen, your dye is not in my beged. You have no claim against me. Because the dye is not extant anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. It's just.
But he should still be able to go back to the goblin and say, I have 2 ounces less dye than I did before.
Yeah, the question is who the claim is, where the claim is really. Alright, Tashma. Alright, so Tashma. Right, it says, Beged shetzav obi klipei orla. A beged that you dye with klipim are shells of orla. Yidalet, it must be burnt. Right, it has to be burnt because now orla is asur behana'a. Right, and the klipei orla, right, the reason that we're using klipei orla over here, Rashi says, klipei gozim, or sharpe rot, about klipat eitlo. Talking about shells of fruit or skins of fruits over here, because if you're talking about the bark of a tree or skins of a tree, there's no chiyuv orla on trees or on wood. Orla only applies to peirot, so it has to be some derivative of the fruit. So you have a derivative of the fruit here that used to dye an object. So how come you have to burn the object now? The only way you'd have to burn the object is we believe that the dye that's in the object is still there. I mean, that there's something tangible from the object in the beged, and that's why you have to burn it. Alma chazuta milti. It's pretty clear from here that a change in color or a visible change in color is equivalent, has some tangible item in it, has tangible dye in it. Samarava hana near the ainayim atzvah Torah. No, Rava says you can't prove anything from here because orla is a unique case. Why is orla a unique case? Because hana by orla applies even to visual hana'a. And what is that? The tanya arelim lo yochal. I only know that it's asur ba'achila. That how I know that you can't get it off of me. Velo yitzavavo, and you should not die with it, right? Velo yitzavavo, and you shouldn't make it into a candle. Tamalomer barotem arloto et pirio. Lo yukal rabot et kulam. To include all these cases, so the extra lashon comes to say include even cases. If I know one of those cases there, velo yitzavavo. He says that this might be unique to Orla, that Orla has an additional requirement not only of just not getting any tangible hanav, but also not getting hanav, which is intangible, I mean in terms of seeing things, like the beged looks a different color now, that is enough to restrict you in Orla, you have to burn it. So I says, alright, tashma, let's find another Easter right now. Beged should savo b'klipei shvi'it, you go away. So our case here, right, takes his shvi'is fruit, takes the peels, and again, he dies with the fruits. Again, Rashi makes the same comment, that there's no shviyas by 18, so again, we have to talk about fruits, peirot, should we eat over here. So we're talking about peirot, shviyas over here. Right? Idalek, he has to burn it. Right there, shiny awesome, dharma krah, tehe, tiyeh, babiyatah, tiyeh. But when it says by kodesh to you, right, that we have by shviyit, that the peirot remain the kedushat shviyit, and you can't get rid of them. Meaning that the kedushat shviyit is to face anything that it becomes involved with. So since it doesn't leave the object, it always remains as a kedushat shviyit, it also impacts over here. That, where it says, we tried to bring two proofs about whether coloring has tangible color left in it or it's just a visual effect. Mara two tried to bring a proof from Orla and tried to bring a proof from shviyit. Mara rejects both of them as being exceptional cases because both Orla and shviyit have exceptional tzadim to them with the gabei hana'ah. Right. They're pasuk, right, that by Orla, that even visual hana'ah is enough. And by shviyit, that shviyit never leaves. I mean, that the kedushat shviyit is so powerful that wherever it is, it exists. I mean, it doesn't matter how tangible or not. So Rabba Rami, Snan. Rabba tried to ask the question. Now what? Snan. Beged should be klipei orla, yidalek. Have a beged that was dyed with klipei orla is burnt. Alma chazuta milti. From there, it sounds like the visual effect has tangible aspects to it. Rimini. Ravidam shnivla b'bayit abayit tamei. Now Ravidis Adam is one of the things that is metame ba'ohel, because Ravidis Adam is considered to be nefesh, the nefesh of Adam. So if you have a Ravidis Adam that's inside of a house, then that house becomes an ohel, and it's mahayo on everything there, and everything inside becomes tamei. God said the house itself doesn't become tamei because it's mechuber l'karka. So anything that becomes tamei is stuff that's inside the house. So Ravidis Adam shnivla b'bayit abayit tamei. The Imri law, and we have another bright that says abayit tahor. The low plige. They're not arguing. Have a kelim davel mikara. Have a kelim davel b'sof. So that makes a difference about when these kelim showed up. If the kelim were there at the time that the blood came into the house, then there was a revius adam in the house. That the house was ma'ayel on it. And then afterwards it's nivla b'karka. Then it's absorbed into the karka. But the kelim that were there at the time that the blood was brought in, the blood spilled, it was in the house at a certain period of time before it was absorbed into the ground. On the other hand, the kelim that are brought afterwards, right, when the blood is already absorbed into the ground, right, that blood is not just classified as a revi'at dam anymore. Since it's not classified as a revi'at dam, the kelim that are brought afterwards are not tamei to tumas ohel.
But remember that kelim that became tamei at the time that the blood was still in the form. What does it refer to as revi'at dam? Should it be blood of ice?
Right, that's what happened afterwards. I mean, that the
he's right.
It really is the second bright, so where it says tahor, the comparison of the two bright, so what gives you that answer.
Right, and in the middle is where if the candle comes out after the middle, then
it's their tahor. Right, they are tahor, and that's really what we're after here. That they are tahor in that case. Why? Because the bliya into the ground means that they're not existent anymore. That means kazuka. Doesn't matter. Even if you can see the blood stained on the floor, that's not classified as being tangible, and the house is not ma'ayel on Revi'at Adam.
Not right, because there's shear there. That's the problem. So the stain, you can see it's real there, you don't get Revi'at Adam.
Alright, so that the Gemara is going to come to something, a similar type of effect. Now this is the next part of this braisa. How again, Dazavasov, Nibla'a. Now if you had killing and it was absorbed the ksut, roin imit chabet the ksut v'yotzei men revi'at dam. Tmeya. Mimlav tehora. So now, if you have the implications to the story here, that if you have kelim that came after the effect, right, and nivla v'ksut, that, and the blood was not absorbed into the karka, into the ground, but rather into a beged. Now, if it's absorbed into a beged, what do? We come and we launder the beged, and we figure out whether there's a revi'at dam in the beged or not in the beged, right, whether a revi'at dam comes out or doesn't come out. Right, then if it comes out, it's tamei'a, bimlav, tehora. It's not tehora. So Rashi says what you do for the test here is that
measure the water
afterwards. You soak the beged in water, and then you come afterwards, and then you squeeze it out and say, does the water have a revi'at more in it or not? That'll tell you whether the dam came out or not came out. So that's the question at hand. If the revi'at dam comes out, we know that the revi'at dam is not so tafus in the beged that it still exists, but whatever tafus in the beged is not. Now, the Tosfos has a nice, what are you talking about? When you wash a beged, the water also gets stuck in the beged. You're not going to get back exactly the revi'at back out of the beged, even when you wash it. So now you have a deficit of water, plus you have the revi'at. You'll never get to the number that you're looking for. So Tosfos suggests that you actually have to, he comes up with all these complex solutions of trying to, how do you wash it out, that you can rather figure out. He says that you actually take it, you wash it out, and then you take another barrel of water, the same amount of water you used to wash here, and you pour revi'at down into it. And then you look at the color of that water, and then you take the color of the water that you washed with, and that the dam is out of it. Why? Because the ratio will remain the same.
It's actually a very sophisticated test. It's color imagery.
Right. But he's doing it, he says the ratio remains the same. So if I take a barrel full of water, and I put a revi'at dam in there, and then I take water, and I wash out a beged, and there's dam that's nivla on the beged, what comes out of that beged will be at the same, the water and blood that comes out of the beged will be at the same ratio as that's what we started with. So then we look at the color, right, the color.
Why is the blood thicker than water?
Right. There are problems with those tests. One is that they're viscosity, and they're not the exact same. Blood and water are not the same, number one. Number two is that it's obvious when an object absorbs liquid and then tries to absorb additional liquid, right, the first liquid that's in there will be more absorbed into the beged than the second liquid. There's obviously more dam will stay in the beged than water that will stay in the beged. So there are issues, and Tosfos tries to use other, he says, we have a Mishnah from Klipe Orla, which suggests that Chazuta is Milsei,
right,
because it's, right, I have a,
see it.
I see it, and I have to burn it. And then I have this blood here where it says only the blood that I can take out of the beggar is classified as real blood.
Right.
But blood that remains in the beggar, even though it's visible, it's not
the covering of the beggar.
It's not there. So he says, Amar Rav Kahana, the Kulei Revi'ot Shanukan. And we're talking about Kulei Revi'ot, Bedam Tusa de Rabbanan. And this is a Kulei here because this is not really the essence here. What does that mean, Kulei Revi'ot? Right, so Rashi brings down Dam Revi'ot, so Dam Kau. Right, this is the same as Dam Kau, clone Dam Tusa. Shaina Metam Lo El Midrabanan. We're talking about Dam, that's only Metam in Midrabanan. So we're talking about Dam Midrabanan, then the Rabbanan were making about it has to really be a real Revi'ot when it comes out of the beggar. What is Dam Tusa? Haruk, someone who was killed or murdered. She had time to reveal Dam Bechayav Moto. And he was bleeding both when he was dead and alive. Safek kula b'chayav, safek kula b'moto. We're not sure if the blood came when he was alive or came when he is dead. The dam that comes out when he's alive is tahor because he's alive. Right, once he's dead, then you have the dam and nefesh, and that dam will be metameh. Since it's a safek derabanan over here, they can make any rules they want. So they made it, and it's something like this. They say, listen, you have to have an exact review.
Why is it safek derabanan? Why is it safek derabanan? Because it might be, this is a right safek of dam nefesh.
Didn't think of that. Question, Jeff? I don't know. All right, I think that might be the problem here. Might be a fake here anyway, or was it Batel? There was a mix, and it was Batel. Right, so I think maybe you have to explain it that way, that there may have been a fake faker here, and that fake faker makes only a Din Rabbanan already. Alright, Rava Rami, everybody says there, okay, we have a problem with these two. What? It's not. It may not still be in. If you take stuff that is used as dyes, material that are used as dyes, for instance, Sviche Steam Vikota. So these are Sviche in the aftergrowths of Steam and Kota. Rashi says that they are, he called them Svichim, because the only time you have them on Shvi'it is in the form of Svichim. You can't find them otherwise in Shvi'it, except for a form of Svichim. Now, what are these things? Stis, Rashi says it's Stis, or Stim, Kruga, Balaz, which is a red, it's like a, I think a red type of dye, and Karkum, Kutza, Gavdo, Balaz. And the Kutza is a Gavdo, I don't know what it is, a type of dye. Both of them are types of dyes that are used over here. So the question is, Yeshlan Shvi'it, the Gemara says they do have a din of Shvi'it, Udmehen Shvi'it. They have Shvi'it, and if you exchange them or use them, or you buy something with them, you get money from them, then their money that was exchanged for all kinds of Shvi'it, Yeshlan Bi'ur, Udmehen Bi'ur, and they have to be burnt. If they come to the Zman of Bi'ur, they have to be removed, or whatever Bi'ur means, whether it means to be mafkir, whether it means to be burnt, to take it outside, whatever it means, and Udmehen Bi'ur, same thing with money, exchanging them. Almel, Eitim Yeshvan Mishim Kushat Shvi'it. Sounds like these are just wood or bark or trees. They're not real fruits that we're talking about here, and they have Kushat Shvi'it. So that's the way Rashi explains it. Tosfos says over here that the reason that they're called Svichim over here is because they actually, what's used for the dye is the roots. So they actually leave them in the ground for 2 or 3 years till the roots grow big enough and are good enough to be used. It. So they call them Svichim is because it's not the yearly plant that they're after the long duration roots. So it actually takes 3 or 4 years of being in the ground, and that's why it's considered Shvi'im, because they're not planted this year, they're not harvested this year, they're harvested after 2 or 3 years. Right, so that has to be shed Shvi'im. For many, Alei Kanim, Velei Gufanim, Shegibivan, Bechava. If you take, branches, little wood, twigs, of, and Alei Gufanim, where he takes, vines, the wood of the vines, Shegibivan, that he broke them off, he collected them, and Bechava, and he, the word chava here means that he actually, that he hid him, hid them. But what does that mean, that he hid them? That he put them together to be wood for the winter, right? That he took them out of what is considered their normal usage. He uses them for wood instead of their normal, what would otherwise be their normal usage over here. So now, what do we say? As if he stores them, he puts them away, then he stores them. If he puts them together to eat, right, then they have a din of Kedushat Shvi'it. Le'itim, if he took them for firewood or to be for wood in the future, ain't by him Yishum Kedushat Shvi'it, then there's no din of Kedushat Shvi'it. So right here, from this phrase, you see that Kedushat Shvi'it does not apply to wood, or to branches, or to trees, and whereas the other one sounds like it does. So Mishani, Amakra, the Chloch. Now the puzzle says, what has the classification of Kedushat Shvi'it is the one you can eat it? The Mishanato Ubiro Shavin. It's only when the benefit that comes from this item happens at the same time that you destroy or utilize the item. The item's utility has to be at the same time it's consumed.
That is an
achila. Right, that's an achila. Yotu etin, shatan biuran. The exception to that case is that etim, which happened after biuran. Why? What are etim used? They're not used for the fire itself, they're used for the coals that they create afterwards. And the coals are what are used for cooking and for heating, are the coals. So when you burn and you consume the etim, right, afterwards the coal itself is what you're used to. So the usage and the consumption have been separated. Right, so that's what the Gemara says. That's not true of all etim. Not all etim are made for their coals. Right, the Rashi calls them etim demashkan, are etim that are used for light. They burn well and they're used as like a torch. Right, like a torch. And Tosfos says, no, that Tosfos is like you, so it's like kindling. These etim demashkan were not only used for burning, that for their heat, their actual heat, and not for the coals afterwards. But either way, now you have a case where Biuran and Achilatan are Shaveh. They're used together. So Amarava, Samitim Latsaka Hinumdim. That no, Samitim are used for Hatsaka. Rashi says, what does that mean, Samitim Latsaka Hinu? Says, Velo Vahir. Rashi, who said before that what is the question of Itim Ashkan, is that you could use Itim also for a torch. So Rashi says, that's an unusual usage. Samitim are used for burning.
The minute they're 18, the minute they're chopped down already.
Right, they have a classified, right. They're classified as for being for burning. What if you happen to use them also for a torch? That's your decision.
Right, but
Samitim,
from the very beginning, they're used for dye. So
the time that they're consumed, they make the dye, so that their usefulness or the utility happens at the same time that they are consumed. So therefore, when it comes to by these 18, mikar lo chayla lo shvit, there is no shvit. Shvich esteem. They stand for being for dying. Well, after the collection period, most people use these things for wood. So if you make no statement about what you can use them for, some place them. Even afterwards, if you change their usage, there is no kushat fee. It's only at the time that you locate them. If you specifically say, I'm going to use them for achila, then they have kushat shazit. Okay, Tosfos explains it a little differently, because he says that before, that the etzi mashkan are used for heat instead of burning and making them into coals. So then when the Gemara says, tam etzim latzakahin, right, that's what's the answer of the Gemara according to Tosfos. Right, so he says that generally, Rabbi Sami Tim Lasaka, Ninu Paris Lasaka Tanur, to heat up a Tanur. Ninu Abi Hanata Nakar Biuran. So it's still there, the Hanel comes after the Biur, because when you heat up a Tanur, you do not cook while the flame is running and the heat there. You cook with the heat that is created from the original burning. So again, he says there's still separation between the utility and the consumption, because the consumption happens up front, and then the heat that you can use is later. The utility that comes out is later, as opposed to heat, when I say I'm like heating myself right on top of the wood, that's not their natural usage. And that's what Sam La Sokka means, is that Sam Etim are not used to heat when they're burning. They're either used for the coals afterwards, or by Mashkan, they're used for the heat that they generated to cook afterwards. Okay, we'll stop there.